My scripture reading today is in Leviticus 23. We've been going there quite a bit recently. So we go again today for some more instruction. Leviticus 23, starting at verse 4. These are the appointed times of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at the times appointed for them. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at twilight, is the Lord's Passover. Then on the 15th day of the same month, there is a feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. But for 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the seventh day is a holy convocation. You shall not do any laborious work. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, and say to them, when you enter the land which I am going to give you, and reap its harvest, then you shall bring in the sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now on the day when you wave the sheaf, you shall offer a lamb, male lamb, 1 year old, without defect, for a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a grain offering. Its grain offering shall then be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering by fire to the Lord for a soothing aroma, with its drink offering, 1/4 of a hin of wine. Until this same day, until you have brought in the offering of your God, you shall eat neither bread, nor roasted grain, nor new growth. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. You shall also count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day when you brought in the sheaf of the wave offering, there shall be 7 complete Sabbaths. You shall count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall present a new grain offering to the Lord. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed holy Sabbath. We thank you for each one that's here. We ask your blessings on them and on their loved ones. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless the words and thoughts that we will bring. Help them to help each of us as you would have. And in the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask. Amen. My text to you is two of those verses within my scripture reading. And let's look at verse 6. Then on the 15th day of the same month, there is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. For 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. And then verse 11. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. My message to you today is entitled, The Spring Festivals. And I want to go over this so that you will know a little bit more detail than what we have discussed up to this point in time. We all know, very clear, have done for quite some time now, that Passover is always the 14th day of the first month. The 14th day of God's first month. It's always in the spring around March and April. And it's always when things begin to have their new life from being dormant from the winter. This year, our Passover day was on Monday. Then, the very next day is the 15th of the first month, and that day is the beginning of unleavened bread. And unleavened bread is celebrated for 7 days. This first day, this last Monday, God instructs us that it is a Sabbath. The first day of unleavened bread, a Sabbath. Also, the seventh day of unleavened bread, this coming Monday, is a Sabbath. And it is the 21st day of the first month. So we have Passover being the 14th, the starting of unleavened bread, the following day, the 15th, which is a Sabbath, and then the seventh or last day of unleavened bread, which is a Sabbath, which is the 21st of the month. Within my scripture reading and part of my text speaks about first fruits. And that's something that we've not emphasized a whole lot in our church. And it's also something that the Jewish people don't do just a whole lot of dwelling on. But it's part of the scripture, first fruits. And this involves, let's look at Leviticus 23 and 11. It involves going out in the field and gathering the first part of the first grain harvest, which is barley. You go out in the field, you gather a few stalks of this barley crop, and you bring it in and you give it to the priest. And in verse 11, he shall weigh the sheaf before the Lord for you to be accepted. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall weigh it. A question is, within this verse, for us to know when this is talking about, we need to know what Sabbath it is that this verse is talking about. Because we know that there are weekly Sabbaths, and we also know that there are Sabbaths within the festival days, the first and last day of unleavened bread is a couple of them. So what Sabbath is it that this is talking about? Well, the answer is that it is the first weekly Sabbath. And this year, it is April the 4th. This is that Sabbath day for us in this year that this scripture is speaking of. The first weekly Sabbath within and after Passover and within the unleavened bread week. This is the Sabbath day. So tomorrow, April the 4th, is that day that the priests would wave the sheaf offering of the barley harvest. And we must realize and know that there was and may still be two opposing rival views of this thing of the Sabbath and what is meant by the day after the Sabbath. Which Sabbath? And I gave you the answer there that our church believes. But there's two rival views. That is before the year 70 AD. And what happened in 70 AD? I think you know. One view was that of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees was the synagogue rabbis of the common people. And their viewpoint was that this Sabbath that it was talking about was the Sabbath, the 16th of Nisan, which would be that next day after the Sabbath, which would be the next day after the first day of unleavened bread, the 16th of Nisan. The other opposing view was that of the Sadducees. And we must remember that the Sadducees was the aristocratic sect associated with the temple service. That was the Sadducees. They're also spoken of in the Bible as being the ones, the sect, that believed that there was no resurrection. That describes the Sadducee sect versus the Pharisees. But they were the sect associated with the temple worship. Well, when what happened in 70 AD, the Sadducees were off the job. They were unemployed after 70 AD because the temple was destroyed by the Romans. They had no job after that. So the Pharisees' view became the final authority. And it's also referred to as the rabbinical counting method, which is, again, starting on that 16th day of the first month. That's how the rabbinical counting method starts. and it's the Sabbath that is spoken of there being the one after the first day of unleavened bread. And our church's view is that of the Sadducees, or the scriptural counting method. Note that the Passover week for us in 2010, note that in the week in which Jesus really died, that week of the actual Passover, of Jesus' death, notice that that week, it was 2 days later in the week than what ours this year is. In other words, Passover for us came on Monday. Well, Passover in Jesus' day came on Wednesday. Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, Jesus died. And then the first day of unleavened bread would have been that next day on a Thursday. Then Jesus would have been in the tomb from late Wednesday night until late Sabbath afternoon. And then he would be risen from the grave before sundown on that Sabbath of that particular week. But notice that even though in Jesus' time, Passover occurred on a Wednesday versus this year for us on a Monday, notice that in the scriptural way of counting the days for the timing that this priest would wave the sheaf offering of the barley, notice that that occurred the same for us as in Jesus' time. That is, both at that time of Jesus and in our time, that day is tomorrow. And it was the same. It was on a Sunday. And in fact, in the scriptural way of looking at everything, day that the priest would wave the sheaf offering would always be on a Sunday. And then 50 days later would have been Pentecost. Why is the waving and the first fruits important? Many reasons and many implications, many shadows and types and pictures as is spoken of in God's Word. But it also has to do with the sheaves. It also has to do with giving God's people a way of counting and knowing when the next major festival was going to be. And it was 50 days starting tomorrow for us. And then you go up 50 days you're counting, starting with one for tomorrow, and then you have seven complete Sabbaths, and the day following that seven complete Sabbaths, well, then you would have your 50 days, in which part of the interpretation from that is 50th is Pentecost. Sheaf was first mentioned in the Bible in Joseph's dream. Remember Joseph? When Joseph was sold into slavery and went into Egypt. And before that, he had had some dreams, and his brothers didn't take those dreams too awfully good. And one of the dreams was that of sheaves. And it was... and said by interpreted that his brother's sheaves would bow down before his sheaf. In Genesis 37 and verse 5, let's go there, David. Genesis 37 and verse 5. Then Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf rose up and also stood erect. And behold, your sheaves gathered around. And behold, your sheaves gathered around and bowed down to my sheaf. Then his brother said to him, are you actually going to reign over us? Or are you really going to rule over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now he had still another dream and related it to his brothers and said, lo, I've had still another dream, and behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. He related this to his father and to his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have had? Shall I and your mother and your brothers actually come to bow ourselves down before you to the ground? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept this saying in mind. So you see, the first part of sheaves in the Bible. Let's go to chapter 43 and verse 28, David. Chapter 43 and verse 28. They said, your servant, our father, is well. He is still alive. They bowed down in homage. You see, God showed Joseph a dream of them bowing down to him, and they were represented in the dream by the sheaves. So we see that a sheaf is a pile of barley stalks tied together. And the sheaf waved is called the omer. And the omer is a unit of dry measure equal to a tenth of an ephah. Or it's about 3.7 quarts. And I figured it out what an ephah would be. And of course, 10 times that, an ephah would be about 37 quarts. Let's go to Exodus 16 and 36, Dave. Exodus 16 and 36. Now an omer is a tenth of an ephah. So we're tying together the first harvest, the first fruits of the first harvest, which was barley, in the harvest season. And we're seeing that God has a plan. Part of it shows shadows and types and pictures through the illustrations that happen within God's Word. And in the very first part of God's year, harvest, first harvest of the first of the barley happens. Another one, the 50 days later, you have a harvesting of the wheat. They give honor to God and praise to God for that. If He's blessed them as they sowed their seed for the barley, so do they have confidence that He will bless them later on for the wheat. The barley is the first grain to ripen in the spring. And barley is noted by having deep roots. It has tremendous ability to absorb the nutrients from the soil. It's very healthy. So you can see part of the harvest seasons, both spring, Passover time with barley, later on in more of the middle of the year, Pentecost with the wheat, in the latter part of the year, in the fall festivals, same thing, harvest of those crops and fruit trees, and praises and honor to God as part of His plan for the many different reasons within those, the harvesting of the fall crops. Let's go to Colossians 2 and 67. Colossians 2 and 67. And we want to see some of the implications, some of these shadows and types, some of these things that we're supposed to piece together as part of God's plan for Him having these appointed times for us to communicate with Him, for us to assemble together in holy convocation and remember all of His wondrous works and how they all tie together and the implications within. Colossians 2, 67. Huh? Okay. Maybe it's 7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Do you see how we can strike the analogy between the barley being grown first in the year, in the wintertime really, before the first month of the year, and having such deep roots, being firmly rooted? The analogy is that we should be firmly rooted in Jesus Christ and in our knowledge of God the Father, and being obedient to their commands. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. 1 Corinthians 15 and 20. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Do you see how we connect the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ at Passover time? He died at Passover time. He rose a few days later within that unleavened bread week. Direct connections of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ is the first of the first fruits of those who are asleep in God. Let's go to John 12 and start at verse 23. John 12 and 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you," and listen at these words that Jesus strike, which is a type or symbol of what is going on now and each and every first month of the year of God. Jesus says, "Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Do you see the analogy? Let's go to verse 32. "And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." Do you see that Jesus, as a type of seed, went into the heart of the earth? He died, and he came back from the earth to bear much fruit, to draw all men as they open their hearts and mind to him, all men to himself. Let's go to James 1 and 18. James 1 and 18. "In the exercise of his will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his Christians," among his creatures. Excuse me. Do you see? We are also to be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. Let's go to Matthew 6 and 33. Matthew 6 and 33. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." We are in the first of many things, first of God's year. And we should remember as such at this time of the year that we should seek first his kingdom. God is the source of all our blessings. Part of what we need to remember at this time of the year. He is deliverer. He is provider. He delivered the children of Israel. He will deliver us. Just as he sustained them, he will sustain us. Just as he led them out of bondage, so will in our life, filled with all kind of distresses and problems, so will he lead us out of all of our problems. And this is that time of the year that we are to remember that analogy. God is the source of all of our blessings. Let's go to 1 John 4 and 9. 1 John 4 and 9. "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him." We need to know that the Son is what brings us life, and that it was part of God's plan that he come into this world and that he live and that he died and that he was resurrected And so we need to remember Jesus and all that He's done for us at this time of the year. Let's go to Revelation 2 and verse 4. Revelation 2 and verse 4. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. We need to realize that we need to seek first the kingdom of God, and that He is and should always remain our first love, our first priority, first in our life. Lastly, I wish to express that one of the ways in which we believe that first fruits would be marked by the Sabbath of a weekly Sabbath within the weeks of unleavened bread is because in God's Word, the weekly Sabbath is referred to as Shabbat when describing or talking about the Sabbath. Whereas the feast days, the word, Hebrew word there for feast Sabbath day would have been Shabbaton. Shabbaton. So we get weekly Sabbath as that Sabbath of the wave offering because the Hebrew words used to speak of the Sabbath versus the weekly Sabbath versus the Sabbath of the first day of unleavened bread was that of Shabbat. There's one exception to that, and it's the Day of Atonement. And the Day of Atonement is referred to as a Shabbat, Shabbaton. So obviously, God intends for us to take that weekly Sabbath as the Sabbath referred to that the sheaf was to be brought to the priest and the priest was to wave it. And then that being the marking day, the first day that would then let His people know and lead towards that next great festival day of the Lord, Pentecost. I would like for us now to go to our blessing of God. Which is, David will have it on the wall here, but for others it would be Numbers 6 and 23. Let's all read that together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His face on you and give you peace. Amen.